The Enduring Church of God presents Charles E. Bryce, bringing you a straightforward message on the abundant life and the good news of the kingdom of God.
Hello, everyone. This program will finish up the series we've been going through about the modern Romans. We have read extensively from the excellent booklet entitled The Modern Romans, The Decline of Western Civilization. This work was produced and published by the Worldwide Church of God from 1971 through 1975 under the leadership of the late Mr. Herbert W. Armstrong. Today we will read from the last chapter titled The Unseen Hand in History. We read, "There is yet another major factor in the rise and fall of nations and empires that has not been told. Modern man, including most historians, has largely overlooked or been ignorant of this primary factor. Many reject it, repudiate it, and ridicule it. Yet you can prove it true. Many students who have studied nations and empires, including Rome, have searched the records and have come up with one or many causes for the decline of those nations and empires. So far, in covering the Roman Empire in the West, we have basically shown the reasons for Rome's decline. These were largely internal weaknesses, perpetuated by the folly and carelessness of the Romans themselves. But why did Rome fall when it did? Why did the barbarians invade the empire and gain dominance when they did? Why at that time and not earlier or later? Was it all just happenstance? Again, why did any major empire or nation of note in history collapse when it did? Sometimes this is perplexing to those who study history. Even the noted Roman historian Edward Gibbon marveled that Rome lasted as long as it did despite her many severe problems. Severe deterioration in the major underpinnings of a nation does not automatically guarantee immediate national collapse and conquest by aggressors. Nations and empires have gone on stewing in their own corruption for remarkable periods of time, but eventually they were destroyed. The Roman Empire, with all its weaknesses, could possibly have fallen long before it did or even gone on longer than it did, but it didn't. Why? One who claims to be God says there is a reason. He emphatically says that the rise and fall of empires is not by accident. And we will show that right in God's Word, the Holy Bible. Continuing to read from the booklet, The Modern Romans. Did you realize that the Roman Empire was predicted to rise long before it did? Did you also know that its eventual dominance by the barbarians was also forecast 1,000 years before it occurred? You'll find that in Bible prophecy. Did you know that the same can be said for the rise and fall of Babylon, Persia, the Greco-Macedonian Empire, Egypt, and many other powerful empires and nations, including the United States and Britain? Surprising? The Bible record is there for all to see. You can prove it for yourself. God proclaims only He can guarantee what will be performed. He says this in Isaiah 42 and verse 9. "Behold, the former things are come to pass, and new things do I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them." Speaking of Bible prophecy. This supreme power also charges man with foolishness and ignorance of a basic fact. We read in Isaiah 40, verse 21 through 23. "Have you not known? Have you not heard? Hath it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he that sets upon or above the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, that brings the princes to nothing. He makes the judges of the earth as vanity. So says God." He also says in Daniel 4, verse 17, God, the, quote, unseen hand in history, end quote, explains that he, quote, rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whomsoever he will and sets up over it the basest of men. So all these developments that have occurred in history, including the rise and decline and eventual fall of the Roman Empire, did not happen just willy-nilly and as a matter of course. God prophesied all of these things ahead of time, and he guided all of these developments and oversaw all of these developments, intervening where he needed to, that his plan would be carried out, but all the while leaving man to make his own choices and go his own way, which man has been doing for 6,000 years, and basically leaving God out of the picture and suffering the consequences. We continue to read. The history of mankind has been a horrible chronicle of war, suffering, heartache, fear, and death. The history of Rome is only another chapter continuing the same story. History repeats itself again and again with slightly varying forms, modified by national temperament and technological developments. The fruits of human behavior, strife, envy, jealousy, hatred, vanity, pride, and prejudice, have run rampant both within and among nations. The record of history is not encouraging. Something is horribly missing in the mind of man. The natural mind of man has led him to do insane things in the name of human progress. The Babylonians, the Persians, the Greeks, and the Romans each had their chance at world dominion. Each in turn left a bloody trail of suffering and depravity as they tried to make the world over in their own image, not according to God's will, but in their own image, doing it their way, for their own purposes, not God's purposes. The story continues in the 20th and 21st centuries. It fills the newspapers, radio, and television. Only today, mankind is threatening himself with genocide, and the weapons of his Armageddon are spreading to many nations. And now we see North Korea claiming to have or about to have nuclear weapons, and Iran on the threshold of having nuclear weapons. What nations will be next? And with each nation that gets armed with nuclear weapons, the obliteration of life off this planet draws ever closer and ever closer. God says he is man's creator and that he has permitted man to make his own choice, to follow a course of action that seems best to him in order to prove that man's way ends in suffering, war, and death. Man has been allowed to prove individually and nationally that he cannot, apart from God, discover the way to true peace, enduring prosperity, radiant happiness, a full and meaningful life. The choice set before mankind contained a promise of fantastic blessings to be heaped upon those who obeyed him. It was also a warning. He says so in Deuteronomy 30, 15 through 16 and verse 19. Notice what God says. See, I have set before you this day life and good and death and evil, in that I command you this day to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that you may live and multiply. And the Lord your God shall bless you in the land where you go to possess it. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both you and your seed may live. This is the creator of all mankind telling us this individually and nationally, but who is heeding this direction from the Almighty God? History is merely the record of mankind making the wrong choices. What a wonderful definition. I'll reread it. History is merely the record of mankind making the wrong choices. The book that professing Christians claim to take their religion from actually points out that mankind has rejected the right way, which is obedience to God and his laws, and brought curses upon himself. And humanity has largely ignored the record of past generations and foolishly gone on to make the same mistakes again and again with ever-increasing magnitude, with greater technology, more devastating weapons, and with mounting human suffering. What does the future hold? There is good news, but there is also some bad news. The scriptures are full of advanced news, prophecy. That's what prophecy is, advanced news, some of which has been fulfilled. But other events are scheduled to be fulfilled in our time, in just a few short years from now. Great cities and nations have had decrees passed on them that no one has been able to alter, critics notwithstanding. Each nation has been allotted enough time to prove how destructive and corrupted its methods are, time to see the end results of its own ways. In a sense, God has given each nation or empire enough rope to hang itself. But there comes a time of correction and punishment to each one. God also foretold the rise to unprecedented greatness, wealth, and power of the United States and Britain. You can find out about that if you write for our free material on the subject of the United States and Britain, and we'll send it to you free of charge. Just call us or write us, and we'll be glad to do that. But the same God also tells what will eventually happen if those nations reject his rule and disobey his commandments. You can read that in Leviticus chapter 26 and Deuteronomy chapter 28. These prophecies are a frightening appraisal of problems plaguing our modern nations. And you'll find that if you just turn over there and read those two chapters. Continuing, is anyone so blind that he cannot see the growing evil, sickness, and violence in our modern societies? The vileness, corruption, and depravity in which we wallow. National character continues to disintegrate and degenerate. Our own leaders and men of historical vision have decried the way we are going. Some draw the parallels to Rome we have shown in this book. America, Britain, and the Western world as a whole have rejected true values and self-restraint, rejected the revelation of God, rejected His laws as revealed in the spirit of the Ten Commandments. This is the law upon which all true goals and values must be based. Our nations desperately need righteous goals, values, and national purpose. God reveals what they are, but we have to want them God's way. It's our choice. It's our decision. The nation that turns to God in obedience will be a nation blessed by God, a nation whose God will protect it personally and directly from its God-rejecting enemies. This is the lesson of ancient Israel, whose great victories were wrought by the hand of God. The United States and Britain were blessed by God with the most bountiful heritage the world has ever known. We didn't acquire it by our great power alone. We think we have. That is part of the problem. It's been given to us in ways we little recognize. Abraham Lincoln recognized this fact and expressed it in a presidential proclamation in 1863. He said, quote, "We have been the recipients of the choicest bounties of heaven. We've been preserved these many years in peace and prosperity. We have grown in numbers, wealth, and power as no other nation has ever grown. But we have forgotten God. We have forgotten the gracious hand which preserved us in peace and multiplied and enriched and strengthened us. And we have vainly imagined in the deceitfulness of our hearts that all these blessings were produced by some superior wisdom and virtue of our own. Intoxicated with unbroken success, we have become too self-sufficient to feel the necessity of redeeming and preserving grace, too proud to pray to the God that made us." What profound and incredible statements by the President of the United States, Abraham Lincoln. He hit the nail right on the head. This applies to every individual as well as nationally. But will we heed? Will we listen? Did they heed? Did they listen then? Let's continue in this proclamation that President Lincoln issued in 1863. Quote, "It behooves us then to humble ourselves before the offended power, to confess our national sins, and to pray for clemency and forgiveness. Now, therefore, in compliance with the request and fully concurring in the views of the Senate, I do by this my proclamation designate and set apart Thursday, the 30th day of April, 1863, as a day of national humiliation, fasting, and prayer. All this being done in sincerity and truth, let us then rest humbly in the hope authorized by the divine teachings that the united cry of the nation will be heard on high and answered with blessings no less than the pardon of our national sins and the restoration of our now divided and suffering country to its former happy condition of unity and peace." End quote. Those words from a president of the United States would undoubtedly be ridiculed by this generation today. But we would do well to heed the warning. There are promises of national well-being if we do. The question is, will we rise to meet the challenge? Our peoples today stand on the brink of a disaster greater than Rome's. We need a national change of spirit now, before it's too late, before history repeats its agonizing sequence of events on our nations, the modern Romans. We read this in 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14. 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14. "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, and will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. So says the Almighty God." But will we do that? Will we heed? Will we change? Will we respond? Will we listen to Almighty God? Well, in this series of programs about the modern Romans, we have tried to cover some very important examples of how the mighty Roman Empire began to decay from within and then finally totally collapsed, and draw the parallels with how our beloved United States of America and Great Britain and the nations in the Western world are decaying from within and will inevitably meet the same fate that Rome did if there's not a complete change of direction from top to bottom and side to side and front to back. In going through this series of programs, we have covered subjects such as lessons of history ignored regarding the history of the Roman Empire, the decline of the institution of family and home in Rome and how it applies today, the failure of ancient education and compared it to the failure of modern education, religion and confusion then and now, a mad craze for pleasure in Rome and in the Western world today, the economy in trouble, which contributed mightily to the fall of Rome, and look around and you see our economy in trouble today, political paralysis. That was true in Rome. It's true in our government today. All you have to do is just read and listen to the news, and it's clear that we're in political paralysis. Militarism and a calculated risk back then, and the same policy exists in our countries today. And now we've gone through material on the unseen hand in history. But will it make a difference when people understand and hear this information and have this knowledge? Well, if nations won't heed the warning signs of trouble and crisis, if they will not change direction before they pass the point of no return, then we must do so in our own individual lives. We can't control the direction of nations, but with God's help, we can control the direction of our lives and how we live on a day-by-day basis in our relationship with God and guided by the Bible. But are we prepared to do that as we face mounting trouble out into the future? I want to turn to a few scriptures to emphasize this point that we must make changes individually if we are to be happy and to prosper and to survive physically and spiritually. Please get your Bible and let's turn and read these scriptures together. First, let's turn to Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12. God inspired Paul to write in Philippians chapter 2, and verse 12, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." We can't depend on other people to take care of our responsibilities, to make our choices, to decide the course of our lives for us. We have to do that, guided by God and led by Jesus Christ. The question is, will you do it? Will I do it? Will we do it? When will we get the point that we're living in very troubled times, and it's only getting worse? And there's no time to waste in getting our house in order and keeping it that way. Isn't that what it says over here in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 11? Please turn there with me. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 11. "Now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition," or our instruction, "upon whom the ends of the world are come." And that's one reason why we've been going through this rather lengthy series on the modern Romans, to show that we ought to learn from their mistakes, that we ought to take note of their bad examples so that we don't make the same mistakes they made and follow their bad examples in our lives, nationally. But in particular, we have to make sure we're not doing it individually. Look what it says here in verse 12 of 1 Corinthians 10. "Wherefore, let him that thinks he stands take heed lest he fall." You know, all of these past world dominating empires thought nobody could defeat them and nothing could bring them down, but all of them were brought down and defeated eventually. Just because they thought it couldn't happen didn't mean it didn't happen. It did happen. The same was true with the mighty Roman Empire. And the same is going to be true with the mighty United States of America and Great Britain and the Western world if we don't heed and change and begin to follow what God says we must do in order to have His guidance and blessing. It's only a matter of time. Another place where that's made very clear in God's word is over here in Amos chapter 4 and verse 6. Let's turn there. We read Amos 4 verse 6. God talking to today's world, and in particular, today's descendants of Jacob, which in prophecy simply means the Western world, the United States, and Britain. And notice what he says here in Amos 4, verse 6. And I have also given you cleanness of teeth in all your cities, which means hunger and want of bread in all your places. Yet have you not returned unto me, says the Eternal. See, God is trying to get our attention nationally, and he's trying to get our attention individually. Who will pay attention to him? Who's going to do it? I hope you will, and I hope our beloved country will. Verse 7, And also I have withholden the rain from you when there were yet 3 months to the harvest, and I caused it to rain upon one city and caused it not to rain upon another city. One piece was rained upon, and the piece whereupon it rained not withered. So two or three cities wandered into one city to drink water, but they were not satisfied. Yet have you not returned unto me, says the Eternal. Verse 9 of Amos 4. I have smitten you with blasting and mildew when your gardens and your vineyards and your fig trees and your olive trees increased. The palmer worm devoured them. Yet have you not returned unto me, says the Eternal. God has to start wondering, what is it going to take to get the point across to you? What else has to happen before you will heed, before you will listen, before you will change? Verse 10, I have sent among you the pestilence after the manner of Egypt. Your young men have I slain with the sword, and have taken away your horses, and I have made the stink of your camps to come up into your nostrils. Yet have you not returned unto me, says the Eternal. You just read through these verses and you put it in modern day language and you'll see we're having these same problems today and we're not returning to God in the face of these problems. You hear about pandemics. You hear about drought. You hear about blight on our crops. You hear about lack of enough food. You hear about the casualties and catastrophes of war. But you don't hear about wholesale returning to Almighty God. This is a very dangerous situation that we must not ignore. Verse 11, Amos 4. I have overthrown some of you as God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah, and you were as a firebrand plucked out of the burning. Yet have you not returned unto me, says the Eternal. So after a while, God's patience comes to an end. And then he steps in with such drastic action that everybody will return unto him, having learned their lessons. But what a horrible amount of suffering and horrendous agony that intervention from Almighty God on rebellious mankind will entail. Verse 12, Amos 4. Therefore, thus will I do unto you, O Israel, or in modern day language, Western world, United States and Britain, because you have not returned unto me, because you have not heeded, you have not listened, you have not changed, you have not responded and given me your full undivided attention so I could bless and guide and protect and lead you. So now, in order for you to come to that point, which you will not come to any other way, this is what's going to happen. Verse 12, Therefore, thus will I do unto you, O Israel, and because I will do this unto you, listen to these chilling, gripping, and hopefully moving words. Therefore, thus will I do unto you, O Israel, and because I will do this unto you, prepare to meet your God, O Israel. Now, we want to come to God under different circumstances than being forced to be confronted by our great God and forced to meet him and forced to be brought to our knees in obedience the hard way instead of the better way of heeding the warning and making the changes. Well, I want to conclude by going back to the first of this booklet, The Modern Romans, The Decline of Western Civilization. And I want to read the last section of the first chapter entitled Lessons of History Ignored. The title of the section is Rome Never Had It So Good. And this is what it says. But at the height of her power, everything looked different. If at any time in history a people could have looked confidently to the future, it was the Roman people of the second century of our era, wrote Dr. Robert Strauss Huppé, noted historian and international relations expert. Within the empire, law and order prevailed, and never before did almost everybody have it so good. No foreign power could challenge her, end quote. But Strauss Huppé asked, quote, why did this civilization decline at all? And why did it decline so rapidly that within another 100 years, the Roman Empire was plunged irreversibly into anarchy and penury, ravaged by foreign aggressors and doomed to extinction, end quote. The same author says, quote, "What can Roman experience teach us?" And that's the core question that we have been trying to establish in all of these programs we've been going through. Once again, what can Roman experience teach us? This author says. Of course, it can teach us nothing if we are satisfied with the notion that the Romans of the second century were not Americans of the 20th century, and that hence what happened to them could never happen to us. End quote. But striking parallels between much of our Western civilization today and the Romans of yesteryear make such complacency very dangerous. What average, pleasure-oriented Roman living for the day ever dreamed his proud nation would someday collapse into the hands of inferior barbarians? There were those who warned the Romans of the inevitable end. Rome had its prophets, its seers, its political satirists, but their combined Jeremiad fell on deaf ears. Romans as a whole would not listen. Will Americans, Britons, Canadians, Australians, Europeans, South Africans, New Zealanders, will they listen to the veritable torrent of shouts and warnings trumpeted by leaders in all aspects of national life? And will these same peoples listen to the warning of the God they have forgotten? He has commissioned his servants, quote, "Cry aloud, spare not, lift up your voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression, and the house of Jacob their sins," end quote. That's found in Isaiah chapter 58 and verse 1. We must listen if we are to survive. In these programs, we have gone through the example of Rome of the past, its worsening internal problems and why it fell. More shockingly, we presented parallel problems plaguing our Western world today. Said researcher of Roman history, H.J. Haskell, quote, "It required a century or more for the destructive forces in Rome to work out their effects. The modern tempo is faster. The history of the later Roman Empire carries a warning to present-day Caesars," end quote. That's from H.J. Haskell's book, The New Deal in Old Rome. Will we heed the lesson of history, the voice of experience? Will we mend our ways before it is too late, nationally and individually? If you would like to receive our free 8-part series of programs on the modern Romans, we will send you the complete set of 4 CDs absolutely free of charge. We'll also send you our magazine straightforward. There's no subscription price. Just call our toll-free number at 1-800-581-1317. That's 1-800-581-1317. Or you can go to our website at straightforward.org. Until next time, this is Charles Bryce with the Enduring Church of God.
For more information, you may write to Enduring Church of God, P.O. Box 1317, Chandler, Texas 75758. Or visit our website at straightforward.org.